All right, agenda item 8, report, discussion, and possible action on report from technical consultant. First one is 8.1 and feasible strategies for Brazos G. Tony.
Good morning, everybody. All right, I usually start off with a little snapshot of where we are in terms of the budget. We're at roughly 41% of our initial allocation. We're working with BRA to implement the First Amendment for our contract, which will change those overall numbers and increase our budget and thereby adjust the percentages going forward. But at least in terms of how we're doing with the budget, we're doing really good right now. This is the schedule in a four-point font that nobody can read, but the message is that red line that basically shows how far along we're coming through the process, where we're really marching along in our evaluations of demand, which is on the front end of the exercise, and then we will be, over the course of this year, moving into looking at supply and then needs and strategies and whatnot. But right now, today's discussion, I'm focusing on particularly following up on Lance's presentation on infeasible strategies, a new process for this cycle that hasn't been there before. And then we'll also be taking up in a later item, a consistency waiver request. Where we're heading in the near term is to come to you at the next planning meeting with suggestions for revisions to the draft numbers on population and demand. But that is not today's discussion. That'll be in the next meeting, and we are heavily involved in getting surveys out. Many of you have probably gotten our surveys. We come stapled along with those surveys because, as you well know, survey responses just sent out into the abyss don't necessarily get returned. But if we call folks and we use them as the start of a discussion, then we can get on the phone with them or meet with them in person and start digging into the near-term needs on population and demand and those draft numbers and start talking with them about the representation of supply and strategies that are being considered. And also for those few that have recommended strategies from the 21 plan, we can also be discussing with them this infeasible strategy exercise that I'm going to go through here. And then I'm going to give a little brief update on other efforts that we're doing in regional water planning as part of item 8.2. So summarizing this infeasible strategy process, first, it would do you well to understand some of the terminology that we bandy about when we're talking regional planning. And this might just be a refresher for some of you, but there's a certain structure to it. When we identify a need, we typically will develop a water management strategy to address that need. In our planning exercise, those strategies have components to them. So you have a water management strategy that might be something, this is just plucked out of the clear blue as an example, for brackish groundwater development. And then there will be water management strategy projects that comprise that overall strategy. And that strategy might be for multiple water user groups, and one may need one might need a new well and a new treatment plant and a new transmission line, and another water user group might just need the transmission line. And so one strategy can have one or more water management strategy projects associated with it. And so it's good to understand that framework of strategy and project so that we, as we start talking about what's this process that we're moving into, that we need to address both the strategies and the projects. So when we go through that exercise of identifying needs and then identifying potentially feasible water management strategies to address those needs, there are statutory and rule requirements. I'll list here. I won't read them off to you. Those of you that are really interested in the administrative code, there's the reference for you. But essentially, the regional planning groups must consider, but they aren't limited to considering, 24 different types of water management strategies for all identified needs. I didn't include all 24 here, but the planning group every 5 years since the beginning of this process 20 some odd years ago, every 5 years the planning group adopts a formal process that gets documented in the technical memorandum, which is due next March, the initially prepared plan, our draft plan, and then the final regional water plan. Has to document the process used by the regional planning group to identify potentially feasible strategies. What? How do we go through that list of 24 different types and narrow it down? And we have to provide a list or table of all those strategies that were considered potentially feasible for meeting a particular need. That's required by the administrative code. And if no potentially feasible strategies are identified or recommended for an identified need, then we have to document the reason. Again, it doesn't say it has to be a good reason, but we have to document the reason. So we establish a process to vet strategies. And we did that for the, I say we, you, the planning group, did that for the purposes of the 21 plan. And we will be doing that for the purposes of the 26 plan. Now, as part of our planning process, part of that schedule that I showed up there, we're working towards the 26 plan presently. This new process actually has us turn around and look backwards and say, all right, we need to look at the 21 plan and the strategies that were identified in that 21 plan and do this assessment of, are they indeed feasible or infeasible in the exercise that Lan described. And the statutory language behind that, and I am going to read this part, particularly since it's statutory. This is the obligation, right? Infeasible water management strategies include those strategies where proposed sponsors have not taken an affirmative vote or other action to make expenditures necessary to construct or file applications for permits required in connection with implementation of the strategy on a schedule in order for the strategy to be completed by the time the strategy is needed to address drought in the plan. So again, as you well know, the regional water planning process is particularly focused on addressing supply needs during drought of record conditions. And the strategies that were vetted last go-around were to address drought of record conditions. And this exercise is looking and saying, okay, the regional water plan included recommendations for projects to be implemented by 2020 and by 2030 and 2040. So you can imagine, now that we're past 2020, there are certain projects that were identified as being needed in the 2020 decade. The Water Development Board selected a date, I believe it's January 5th, 2023, for those 2020 projects to be online or not. And just to give you an example, you can consider like a reservoir and how many years that it might take to construct a reservoir. And if we recommend a reservoir be constructed by 2030, and there's been no action taken yet, then the feasibility of a reservoir being constructed in that time frame, we need to vet that with those project sponsors and see where they're at. And so this review, now this is a little bit of touching on what Lan presented a moment ago, but now you get the context for why it's worded this way, is it's that statutory language that really drives it, that we're focusing on the 21 plan strategies and projects that require a permit or involve construction, and that are shown to be online by 2020 or the 2030 decade, that are or could be related to major reservoirs, other major projects, seawater desal, ASR, DPR, so forth, and generally require for implementation either significant resources or significant time. So we're giving it a litmus test to see and assess feasibility. The board has recognized in its guidance that it's provided to us. Lan mentioned a couple of different dates that they shared information with the planning groups for their consideration. The board recognizes that, you know, information could be difficult to obtain or may not be available, particularly for some of those aggregate water user groups like county other, things like that, those county other strategies or county strategies like manufacturing or irrigation, where we don't have one entity, there might be multiple entities that we need to engage, and it might be difficult to round that information up. And so the planning group may not be able to determine infeasibility for some strategies or projects. What I thought I would do is just march briefly with some of the information. This is not for action today or even consideration of action today. This is the exercise in, this is a new process. We wanted to familiarize you with what's envisioned, some of the information that's already been identified by the Water Development Board for us, identifying those projects that at least meet that criteria, that we need to go and investigate them for feasibility and share some of that here with you today, so that as we're marching forward towards that March 24th tech memo, we will be having future discussions on this infeasible strategy exercise. And so this gives you at least a little bit of a primer on it. That was our idea today. No actions are going to be taken. So on the water management strategy side, in the list of strategies that are in the 21 plan, there are 124 that are potentially infeasible. Of those 124, there are 60 that are demand reductions by 2020, comprised of agricultural conservation, industrial conservation, municipal conservation for Waco. So again, that would be something where we would approach Ms. Tyre and discuss with Waco, hey, where are you at in the process of implementing that strategy? Is it something that's already online, you're already doing, it's already saving water? Is it something that would be more reasonable to reflect in 2030? Those are the conversations we're going to have. And we're including that those types of questions in our surveys and when we're talking with folks. On the source-related side, these are projects recommended for 2020. There are 64 projects that were identified in the 21 plan, one for conjunctive use, 35 for groundwater wells, 8 for reuse, and 20 for surface water projects of some type. And so of those 64, there's where we need to start engaging with folks to identify with those different entities, identified sponsors, where they're at on those infrastructure type projects. Also included are major reservoirs that are online 2030 and 2040, of which we have 6. The reason why I highlight these is because, again, if they haven't taken actions of some sort, or depending on how far those sponsors have gone on those activities for these projects, if these particular projects are identified as infeasible, again, that term major reservoir has implications. Specifically, any changing or dinking around with what is discussed in the regional plan on a major reservoir means that you must go through a major amendment, which has implications in terms of cost and expense, notification, hearings, things of that nature. And that's if any one of these are determined to be infeasible. So there is a good potential that we will be looking at possibly having to go through a major amendment process if any one of these is determined that they're not going to get it online, or did not get it online, or could not get it online by 2030. So that's identifying just the major reservoirs. Other significant projects, aquifer storage and recovery, reuse, that were identified as coming online in 2030 or 2040 are these three, with the City of Bryan's ASR, the Lake Granger ASR with BRA, and then DPR for College Station. And as again, as we're sending out our surveys, we're starting to ask those questions. And as you can imagine, there's folks that are confused because here we are working on the 26 plan, and we're saying, no, wait, we're actually going to stop and pause for a second. We're going to look backwards and go, hey, where are you at on the stuff that you did in 2021 and what was being planned for in that 21 plan? And so we're getting on the phone with folks and trying to explain the situation, and I appreciate Land pointing it out that this is legislatively driven. And so it's not just a meaningless exercise. There's a point to it, and it's to determine that feasibility for the 21 plan. Now, I mentioned strategies there, 120 or so. There's also projects that are associated with those strategies, which there are 72 and 66 project sponsors. These are the projects. I won't belabor you with all of them, but I wanted you to have them in your packet just to give you a sense, again, not reading through each one, but give you a sense of the level of effort that we're going to be doing to reach out to the various 66 sponsors, 32 of which are municipal. And we're going to be discussing with those folks, saying, hey, this is what the 21 plan identified as being implemented by 2020, which means January 5th, 2023. Have you implemented these projects yet? And if not, what is the plan? What are you doing? What is the exercise that you've gone through? What level of effort have you done? There are also non-municipal sponsors, 34 of which are identified here. So again, it's a pretty significant list. Again, on the non-municipal side, it's a little bit harder in terms of identifying a specific entity and a specific person we're going to be reaching out with. So how far we're going to get in our level of effort and with the budget that we have to identify every single non-municipal sponsor is going to be limited. There are also projects that are associated with those major reservoirs that I don't identify here. And you know the project sponsors that were identified for the purposes of the 21 plan, I won't go through those again, but we're going to be talking with them about those projects associated with those strategies. The questions that we're asking align with the statutory questions that are being asked of the planning groups. So we want, you know, the name of the sponsor, what online decade they think it would be reasonable to have that come online. Dates of affirmative action, if they've had a board meeting and approved a study for the plan. We're trying to gauge where they're at in their process. And you'll notice that statutory language and the information Land put up, that it talked about a permit. It didn't say state permit or federal permit, it just said permit. So we've got to ask about both. So we need to know, all right, on the state permitting side, where are you at? Have you filed an application yet? Has it been declared administratively complete? We're including those questions in our survey and when we're talking with folks on the phone to gauge where folks are at. Same on the federal side with their 404 permitting, if it's been issued yet or if they've even applied. And if they're in a planning, design, construction phase, kind of where they're at, and some estimate, ballpark estimate of what funds they've expended to date, things of that nature. That's the kind of information that we need to bring to bear. We're going to compile together for as much as we can identify to report in the technical memorandum. Yes, sir.
Tony, can you go back a slide, please?
Yes, sir.
So how are you going to deal with new major reservoir, Corio County off channel? Years ago, there was an issue of, in this group, if there wasn't a sponsor, BRA would be the default sponsor. And there's going to be a lot of projects in here that BRA has no plan to do because we were just the default sponsor. So how is this group going to reach out to the right folks to determine if there is an appropriate sponsor and if that project's going to move forward?
I think it's multifaceted in the sense that we're going to start with whoever's identified as the sponsor in the plan and then work from there to determine, all right, who is the appropriate person to engage or entity to engage on discussion of that. And it may turn out that there is no viable sponsor. You know, some of these projects have like 7 different sponsors. And if 6 backed out and one is still gung-ho for it, we're going to identify that and then bring for your consideration, okay, well, feasibility-wise, that, you know, they may want to keep it in the plan as a strategy, bump it to a later decade versus, you know, no, it can't go forward. And so those are the questions that we're going to be chasing down over the course of the next 6 to 8 months to flesh that out so that we have a compilation for y'all's consideration.
If you cannot identify a sponsor for the project, it's going to be infeasible.
That's right.
So you don't have to get to the rest of the question.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But we want to make sure, and I think David's question is a good one, that we run that down before we decide there's not a sponsor versus we couldn't get a hold of somebody that would claim they were a sponsor. And, of course, our starting point is what was identified in the plan.
So, any other questions for Tony on infeasible strategies? Which he'll bring more information at a later date also. This is just to get us kind of up to speed of what we're fixing to tackle. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
I know this is the first time that we're going through this. Is this an every cycle from here on forward, or is this basically every off, like the 2026, the 2036, every mid-decade plan that we'll be doing this?
It's a statute.
Right.
Presume it moves forward in the future.
Right, right.
And the reason I ask that is there, again, since this is the first iteration that we're jumping through this, there's some level of, you know, kind of jumping into the 2030s, would it be beneficial to jump into some of the 2040s to at least make them aware of the information that's going to be coming their way in some point in the future?
I think we will absolutely be bringing that to bear. You know, as you well know, we're not suffering from an overabundance of budget. And so as we're engaging with the water user groups and the sponsors particularly, You guys that have received a survey would know, you know, our most pressing need right now is population and demand, because that's where our nearest deadline is. But we've included information on supply, on strategies from the last go-around, because we're trying to kind of get a snapshot of where everybody's at. And in those discussions on feasibility and infeasibility and on plan strategies for the 2026 plan as well, we'll be having those discussions about, all right, what's the reasonable, you know, where you're at and where your activities are, and, you know, if they have a request for a particular online decade or not, that we're going to be trying to capture that.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? All right, let's go to agenda item 8.2, regional water planning update. Continue on, Tony.
Okay, so obviously we've been getting our surveys out, updating our points of contact. Many of you have talked with me or one of my staff on the phone as we've tried to get the information out into folks' hands. I've mentioned the surveys a couple of times. We're really trying to do that over the phone. The survey's the start of the conversation. As we're getting that information out, we're asking those questions about infeasible strategies as well. And then one of the other things we're doing is investigating those population and demand numbers. Obviously, you guys have seen them in our previous meetings. You know the difference this go around from previous cycles. They're far more conservative in the projections of population growth and demand and allowing populations to decline. It will come as no surprise to you that the water user groups themselves are like, boy, that's significantly lower than what it was last go around for many, particularly in the rural areas. And so we're also focusing on the military installations. And I wanted to have just a brief snapshot here about how those are being addressed in the regional water plan, particularly Dice Air Force Base in Taylor County, Fort Cavazos, which is formerly Fort Hood, in Bell and Coryell counties. Essentially, they are treated as a water user group. The key difference being that populations are typically held constant for group quarters, and somebody asked me last time what group quarters meant, and I beat my head against the wall up here trying to remember. Quarters doesn't mean like one-fourth. It means quarters like living quarters. So group living quarters is what that's really talking about. And for the 21 plan, Dice Air Force Base was included within the city of Abilene as one water user group. And for Fort Cavazos, that was actually differentiated as its own WUG, its own water user groups, and delineated between Bell and Coryell counties. That's how you guys handled it for the 21 plan. For the 26 plan, it's being similarly handled that way. Where it's combined with Dice Air Force Base combined with the city of Abilene as a single WUG, with the population of the Air Force Base being held constant throughout the planning period. Then for Fort Cavazos, the population assigned to Coryell County was held constant throughout the planning period. The population assigned to Bell County, though, declined between the 2010 and 2020 census, and thus the board shows a decreasing population through the planning period. And that's just a little snapshot here showing those two dark blue lines represent Fort Cavazos in Bell and Coryell counties for the purposes of the 21 plan. Those red and dotted lines are the draft numbers for 2026. And I will tell you right off the bat that when we look at that declining number there really doesn't pass our initial sniff test in the sense of, that's a military facility. It's, you know, it's supposedly a constant population, and we believe that that's just from application of the methodology where the board starts with a countywide population number and then breaks it down to the individual water user groups. We've talked about that methodology in the previous meetings. We think that since they're treating it as a WUG, they applied that methodology here, and that's something that we're going to engage with them, you know, ensure that it would be more appropriate, that it's not declining. And that would be where we would come back to you guys in the next meeting and say, yes, we've spoken with the Fort Cavazos representatives. They believe it'd be more appropriate for X, and we will bring that for your consideration at the next meeting. But this is just to give you an example of the, you know, information that we've got, how they're treated initially as a water user group, and then we go through the process of vetting it with them with our surveys and our phone calls.
Right. Tony, Gail's got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, can you go back to the previous slide?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give a little overview of that 1.0 scenario, what that means?
Yes, I absolutely can. So because I mentioned a moment ago that this cycle, the projections of population and demand are far more conservative this planning cycle. And this really goes to that narrative. It's the reason why we're also doing the infeasibility assessment, is that the legislature wants to make sure, and I'm not speaking for the legislature, obviously, but the opinion I've gained from hearing about this is that there is concern about the feasibility and the reality of projects that were identified in the state water plan. And so this planning cycle, there is a drive to be more conservative in assessing the last plan strategies and their feasibility, as well as projections of population and demand. Because of that, we have draft numbers, draft population and demand projections that are lower, and in some cases, particularly in rural areas, significantly lower than what we've had in previous planning cycles. The Water Development Board staff recognizes that and has offered this planning cycle the planning group's opportunity to look at in a little bit more gross detail than perhaps has been done in previous rounds, and looking at how those population numbers are derived. And one of the things they do is they look at migration. Of course, they look at birth rates and death rates, but they also look at migration, county to county migration. And they have, in fact, it's through the Texas Demographer's Office. Sorry, land moved. I was trying to make eye contact. through the Texas Demographer's Office, that they developed these migration estimates, and they have two scenarios that they've presented for the planning group's consideration. One is a 1.0 migration scenario. The other one is a 0.5. And those of you with a sense of humor might remember that I've described this similar to how I'm teaching my 15-year-old daughter to drive, because she overcompensates. If I say left, she turns hard left, or if I say right, she turns hard right. The 1.0 migration scenario is similar in the sense that it looks back over the last 5 years, and if an urban area is growing, the 1.0 migration scenario assumes they're really growing. But if a rural area is declining, the 1.0 migration scenario assumes they're really declining. So it overcompensates either way. It's not as simple as just 1.0 is always higher than 0.5. And so in each case, we look at the 1.0 and the 0.5 at the county level, and the board has said, the regional planning group, we can collectively weigh in and say which we think is more appropriate, that 1.0 or the 0.5 per county. And we can't break it down to each water user group. We have to look at it at the county level by requirement. And we can opine on which one's more conservative. In our last meeting, I had offered up that a mix of the 1.0 or the 0.5, depending on the county. That's something that we're considering offering for your consideration, to be more conservative, whichever is the higher. And that'll be up for the planning group's consideration. Here, we just included the 1.0 as an example because it was already a litany of lines on that page. And adding several more would just add to the confusion. And so we just wanted to say, here's with the 1.0 example where those numbers are falling.
Thank you. And I think in the past, if it was a declining population, it was held constant. Now it's really
indeed
trying to assess whether there has been one. So I just wanted to point that out to the members on the board, because you may be impacted regarding this, and I think you can work with the Water Development Board regarding any concerns you have regarding the calculation along with Tony.
So I will round this out just by saying that just like we are doing with the water user groups, we are going to be reaching out with those military facilities to indeed, I use the term sniff test, but does this information indeed appear representative and indicative of their population and demands? I suspect that with the military facility, unless they are really, making some changes, that we'll probably be coming back with some suggested revisions, with particularly that decline in Bell County. I'd be surprised if we didn't. But we're going to be talking with folks. That's the message. And then going forward, engagement, engagement, engagement. We are.
If I could.
Yes, sir.
Just
go ahead, Kenny.
Just a couple of quick comments, and thank you very much for that that update. I brought this up last time that we met, and I actually reached out to Wayne to kind of see what we were doing to address this. I am familiar with this for a couple of reasons, but concerned that within our region, there's two major military installations, and I will say that the National Defense Authorization Act of 21 is where this is all coming from, and we don't know what it means to us yet because the military has not figured this out yet. Fort Cavazos is a part of a study the Army's doing right now about what it means to have water resiliency at an installation. But we got to understand, energy and water are both occurring here. Energy has been the flavor of the day at the beginning of this, and they're talking about establishing microgrids, power grids to power installations independent of the other grid. And water will be the next wave, no pun intended, of what's going to happen at an installation so it can secure its water independence for a period of time. And so that's going to be not a large factor, but a factor in us, I think, showing in the plan what that means as far as us securing for, you know, national defense or whatever those reasons are in the plan. And to your point about major moves, I mean, the B-21 is being moved. It's a bed down location at Dyess, so that's going to change their numbers. And so you're right, the single events, will be significant sometimes in nature, and so you know, this is something that I think is just lends itself to us monitoring as we move forward, because things are going to develop as we're developing the plan that we may have to respond to. So I appreciate the update and thank you for that.
And so our path forward, again, a lot of me and my staff talking ourselves hoarse with all of the water user groups in the region. As much as they will engage with us. And we're having a positive response, just to let you know, in terms of survey and folks that are interested to engage. We'll be looking at the infeasible strategies, having those discussions, and then towards the back end of this year, moving quickly into the water supply side. We've got some things to take care of on our populations. We'll be addressing those in the next meeting, but then we're going to be moving into water supply and availability, both on groundwater and surface water. That's where we're heading. So thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Any other questions for Tony before I let him leave? All right. Thanks, Tony.